Okay, here we go. So again, I'm Cindy, a compulsive overeater. It's really nice for me to be here. It is funny how our higher powers work. I call my higher power God, and when I got a phone call or an email, someone asked me if I could speak tonight. I, in sort of my best OA frame of mind, that, you know, we say yes when we're asked and we want to be of service, I said, okay. And I knew when I said that at some point between that time and close to Thanksgiving, I would regret that I said yes, because I have things to do. I host Thanksgiving. I have people coming to my house. I have lists of things I need to get done. And that did hit me at some point. But I know myself, you know, well enough through my work in this program that I'm not that productive anyway with my list, and it's probably better for me to be here. And I had an interesting epiphany God moment this morning when I was preparing some notes about what I wanted to share. And many of you know I have been in the program a long time, and I have lots of experience to share. And yet, for those who familially are closest to me, hi Adele, they have no idea about really who I am and the profound impact that this program has had on my life. And so I sat down, and these familial people I'm talking about are my parents and my twin sister, who actually does have a pretty good understanding of what my OA experience has been. But my parents don't, and they don't really understand the program, and, you know, really have seen it as sort of a weight loss program that, with their very high expectations, may or may not have helped me very much. And so today I was just able to sit down, send an email, and tell them without, you know, any sort of blame from the past. It was actually my mom who, when I was very young, when I was 22, that's when I came into the program. She had a friend who told her about an OA meeting. And, you know, bless my mom's heart, she and my dad tried very, very hard in many, many, many ways to cure me. And, of course, they couldn't do it. But my mom and dad took me to my first OA meeting, and I can't even tell you where it was. It was somewhere here locally, but I don't know if it was Seattle, Bellevue, or what. And they dropped me off and picked me up. And I, you know, for that, I'm really, really grateful. So anyway, I had even without using food, it's really hard for me to feel. I can block it. I can block it in many ways. I can distract myself. I can just shut it off. I can block it. And I had the tears come up like nobody's business today. And they were very cleansing tears after I had stepped up for myself and sort of told my story in a way that was appropriate with my family. And boy, it felt good. It just felt so good just to get some of that emotion out. And, you know, for me, it's always so very, very much been, you know, about feelings. I want to tell you, I have a little outline of what I was like and what happened and what I'm like now, and then some little things that I want to say about gratitude. You know, as I said, I came into the program, fortunately, when I was young, And for me, it was the result of sort of a perfect storm. I was a perfectionist and a performer, and believed that the only way that I would get the recognition or love that I wanted was by having a list of accomplishments. And I grew up in a small family. It was just me and my twin sister, and she had a chronic illness. And so that took a lot of my parents' attention, most particularly my mother's attention. And she really gave me the message that she had no time or emotional bandwidth for anything else. So I could never express or feel. And so that was kind of the setup for feelings aren't okay. What am I going to do with them? And so I started, to overeat, compulsively overeat. I just remember that the message was very clear in my family: feeling is not okay. No one felt at all. No one talked about anything. And this is what I learned. So during my teenage years, and this was back in the mid-70s, when I don't know that eating disorders were really talked about, binge eating, anorexia, bulimia. But I was a binge eater. I was bulimic. I used laxatives, excessive exercise. And I just knew I was crazy, and I was so ashamed. But I had never spoken to anybody who knew what was going on. I also had picked a sport in high school that really emphasized thinness. And there was weighing. We were weighed. They told us thinner is better. As long as you can still walk on 2 feet, we want you as thin as you can be. And when I look back at that time and how little I was eating, boy, it just wasn't enough really to sustain me. So all those things came together, and I just couldn't handle it anymore. I remember I started binging, on the weekends, and the binges got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, I too had horrible hangovers because I could really stuff the food in fast and furiously. And I was young, and I could recover pretty well, but because I'd shut off all those emotions, I wasn't maturing and I wasn't growing. I just wasn't dealing. So I was very much a broken person physically, mentally, and spiritually. Tried to go on to college, and that was really just a disaster waiting to happen. The binging continued. I didn't know what was going on. I was horribly depressed. I dropped out of school, and it was just an awful time for me. So finally, I hit a real bottom. And I went to my, as I mentioned, my first OA meeting. And then one of my early OA meetings was in South Bellevue. It was on a Wednesday night, and I was just young, single person. And I was really afraid going to my first meeting. But what I heard in that meeting was, it was warm and welcoming. And I heard a lot of humor, too, which was helpful for someone who was as serious as I am. And it helped me begin to see that I wasn't alone. So I started my program then and stuck with the program after I got married and moved to Las Vegas, Nevada. And that was where I really, really had the time to devote to the program because I didn't know anybody. I was by myself. Well, I was married, but I was basically by myself looking for work. And so I was able to go to several meetings a week at that time and hooked up with a sponsor who really worked with me one-on-one. And this was back in, so this was probably 1985. And there was the only OA book that was available was the OA Brown book, and I think it was the first edition. So the stories, and I got that, and I was reading about people who are like me. But when I walked through the steps, worked through the steps, it was through the AA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. My sponsor walked me through using that piece of literature. And obviously, since then, we have wonderful OA literature to use, but I have to admit that I have a great affinity for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the AA 12 and 12. So for me, I want to talk about some of my light bulb turning on, the light bulb turns on moments in the program. And all I could do is, I remember just, people would say, well, just act as if you have a higher power, or act as if you sort of get what this program's about, and then eventually you'll get it. And so for me, it has been about, don't worry too much about getting it or not getting it, because of course I was worried about not getting it. And I just kept coming back, as we say, and one of those light bulb moments for me was that I actually could try less and surrender more. So I thought the key to getting on top of my food, stopping the binging, the compulsive eating, was to try harder. But it never worked. So the concept of surrender and letting a power greater than myself do it, that was incredible to me. What an incredible concept. I also understood about insanity, my insanity. My belief that, is that 12 minutes? Okay, so that's about, okay. My belief that, how do I say this? It sounds so egotistical. That the world didn't depend on me to spin. That the world spins according to God's rhythm and direction. That everyone in the world has a role to play, and all I have to do is play my part. Stay in the present and play my part. That was mind-shattering for me. And again, I mentioned just adopting that. You know, watching people in the program who'd come before me. Faith, it worked for them, maybe it'll work for me. Acting as if until I got it, faking it until you make it. That was all really helpful for me. Again, for me, I don't know that there is another way around, at least from my experience in the program, other than just to work it, to work it every day. Some days more, sometimes less. It's that spiritual experience we talk about. For me, it was definitely of the educational variety. It was not instant. It was slowly but surely. It was because I had faith that it would work for me. And one day at a time, I would do it. And then all of a sudden, I looked back and realized I had it. I had a higher power. That's how it worked for me. I want to talk a little bit about kind of what I'm like now, and I laugh because people say you don't graduate in this program, and I go back to things that I thought I'd mastered that that I haven't. I work this program imperfectly. I want to tell you some of the things that I'm working on now. My dear friend in the program and I, of which I have fortunately a few dear friends in the program, but she and I have worked together quite a while, and we have been listening to those World Service Trustee podcasts, steps 1 through 12, and they've been very helpful. And what popped up recently, we listened to step 9, and for, I think, both of us, it was very much about living amends. And, you know, for me, being a newly sort of empty nester with my husband, and my kids, who I have two, who are, you know, are adults now and have left home, I really believed in my heart of hearts they're all I care about, and they have left me and I have nothing. That's really how I felt. And I'm working through that, you know, with the program and working on my relationship with my husband, which is basically very good. And the thing that he said to me the other day that was so cool, and he said it to me a couple times, that, you know, we've been married for 30 years and I've been in the program really that long. So he said to me, you know, you have had a profound impact on me and how I have changed for the better, and that I am the person that I want to be because of, you know, your influence. And what a compliment to, you know, to have come from your husband. And I could, you know, turn the tables and say, you know, it goes both ways, really. He's not in the program, he's a normie. He definitely is. So that was a great thing. I'm body image has been a big one for me, and I don't know if any of you saw it, but I think there was our world website. I think they're putting together some new literature about body image, physical recovery, emotions around that, intimacy, that kind of thing. And boy, I have a lot to say on that subject, and I continue to work through it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I think it's, I may try to put something, you know, together, because body image, body comparison, body focus, it's part of my disease, and it takes, you know, constant work. I still don't know what's best for me or others, and the funny thing is, I've had to check myself on that, you know, recently doing some volunteer work with some nonprofits, and I'm just really sure that I have, you know, a great deal to contribute, and that I'm sure that they will really appreciate it, the other people who work with me. And it doesn't go very well when I feel like I'm pushing, when I'm sort of pushing my agenda or pushing my, you know, sometimes superior way of dealing with things. And it takes me back when I think about, well, I thought I already had that down in the program, you know, humility and that sort of thing. But my ego can pop up at any time, and it never works out very well. And my controlling and, you know, managing. This program is an ongoing thing. There's always, you know, I never fully have it, and it seems like I forget it almost on a daily basis. Gratitude is part of my daily meditation every day. I tend to be a very negative thinker. It's part of my insanity. And I need to remember to be grateful for simple things, and it doesn't have to be much. You know, waking up in the morning, sleeping well, having the sun come up, you know, beautiful Thanksgiving weekend. I really need to get to back to some of that gratitude, because, boy, I can, you know, I can create a lot of worry and things I wish I had that I don't, and that I'm sure I won't. I need to keep it simple. So I think that I'll wrap up just with a few program things I'm grateful for, and they involve people in the program. I'm grateful for a longtime partner in recovery I've worked with, who sends me her 10 steps every day, and that reminds me. That reminds me to practice my own gratitude. Reminds me to do a check-in with my food. It reminds me to think of the positive things that I've done, and make sure I haven't beaten myself up all day, because I, you know, can do that too. I'm grateful for someone else in the program who I've known for many, many years, who tells me she loves me, you know, every time I talk to her. She's so lovely. And she means everything to me. She was the one who, when I had my first child, I was so scared and afraid. I just knew I couldn't do it. And I went to a meeting, an OA meeting, and I was able to say, I can't be a mother. I don't know how to do it. And I got support there. And the same person also came over to help me with my little newborn when my husband had to go out of town. And she just talked to me, and she held my sweet little son. And I'm so grateful to her for that. So very grateful. Grateful for the phone call I got from someone else in the program who was having trouble with someone she was sponsoring. She needed to basically let someone go who wasn't working as hard as she was, even though she was the sponsor and this other person was the sponsee. And I was able to share my experience with many people who the sponsor-sponsee relationship didn't work out, but that I think what we're told to do in the program is make ourselves available to sponsor those who are willing to do the work. And I was able to tell her that. So I'm grateful for those things and grateful for the relationships and being in a place where I can truly feel, you know, one with others. So very grateful to my higher power and the program. Thank you for letting me share.